Joe Barr is on with me. We're over here working away. I'm going to have to go down tomorrow, try to get it put off 24 hours. Joe did this afternoon with Patman, but have to go down tomorrow and bite this bullet before his committee. And I simply wanted to run by you in a general way what I'm going to say and the position I'm going to take and tell you what the background is for it. What I'm going to propose is, in the first place, I'm going to have to take a position in opposition to the proposals of two bills that are being considered by the committee, Patman's bill and Ottinger's bill, both of which would greatly discombobulate the whole banking field. But I want to be positive and come forward with my own proposal, and if I don't do it, Mr. President, I don't believe anything is going to happen. I think it'll just degenerate into a dogfight. Now, it could degenerate in a dogfight anyway, but I think the only real chance of getting constructive action by the middle of June is to come out. Now, I've got John Horn lined up behind me. He tells me we've got the U.S. Savings and Loan League lined up to support. I've got the Federal Reserve Board passively, I would say, acquiescent. I've got Charlie Walker and the ABA people who say it looks like something that, if properly administered, they could live with very well. And what I'm going to propose is a temporary authority in the Federal Reserve Board to place a differential rate on time deposits up to $10,000, in other words, the insured portion of any deposit that could be covered, and it would be understood that the Fed would exercise this authority to fix that rate at 5%, which would equalize the competition for insured savings between the banks and the S&Ls and the mutual savings organizations. This is, Mr. President, like putting up an umbrella or buying an umbrella when you may be confronted by a storm. You don't know whether it's coming or not, but if it does come, you want to have an umbrella. This is not to be presented as a permanent solution of the problem. I don't want to get you or this administration or myself in any position of advocating a permanent restriction on competition between financial institutions. We're saying that this is a necessary thing to cover this very sharp transition when the whole inter-industry competition has been basically dislocated by changing interest rate differentials that occurred after December 6. Now, I think I could go on, but that is basically the thrust of what I'm going to do.
Fine. Good.
Now, I may get cut up a little bit here and there. Joe tells me this is a rough one, and I can tell it is, but I think this is just a chance we have to take.
Have you talked to anybody about it?
No, I've talked to the people I've indicated. Horn.
I mean in the Congress.
No, sir. I've talked to Chet Holifield, who came to see us last week from the California delegation. Of course, he'd like a lot more, but he recognizes the practical sense of what I'm saying, that if the S&Ls reach their fist down too far in the barrel, then they're going to come up with nothing, because the commercial banks will be in charge over at the Senate Banking and Currency Committee, and it'll just be a dogfight.
Mr. President, this is Joe Barr. Today I did chat with Wright Patton. He thinks that something has to be done in this area. We just can't kill off the S&Ls. I talked with Willis Robertson, who says it sounds good to him. I went up and talked with old Judge Smith, who wrote that FDIC bill, who was there when they had all the troubles in the 20s and 30s. The judge says that this sounds like something that has to be done, says we've got to restrain this competition between banks and savings and loans, and between the banking system itself. Now, I've talked to these three people. I talked to the judge because I told him that we might have to move this one quickly if we're going to stop a raid on the S&L in July.
I'm already on record in early April, Mr. President, speaking to the bankers, and I said I would hope that there will be an accompanying disengagement from the unreasoning competition for time and savings deposits that ignores the need for caution and the harm that kind of competition can do to our banking and financial system. So the predicate for this position is laid, and I don't think it isn't as though we were going down a permanent road here. I would have my own reservations if I thought this was being put forward as any final answer. It isn't, but it will.
The only thing troubles me, it looks like, is you say that the little fella can't give it 5%, but the rich man can get 5.5%.
That's right, and we rationalize that by saying that it's logical that those who have the protection of government insurance should be prepared to receive a slightly lower rate on the insured amounts, since the lower interest rate would be applicable to the insured amount of all time deposits and certificates of deposit. It would be equitable as between large and small account holders.
How much are your savings and loans under 10,000? 80% of it?
Mr. President, they're about 96%.
96?
Yes, sir. They're 10,000 run.
Now this will be helpful around the country, all around the country. There'll be some of these outfits in California that have a lot of this hot.
Will it have a tendency that those that have been paying 4.5%? 4.75% to bring it up to 5%?
I wouldn't think so, Mr. President. There's no reason for them.
Doesn't the Federal Reserve have authority now?
No, sir. Their lawyers say they don't. And if I'm asked that question, I'm going to say, of course, if you get the Federal Reserve Board, when they appear, to agree they have the authority, this is unnecessary. But we've been advised by their lawyers that they do not think they have it.
What's their attitude toward it? They just... Indifferent?
No, I think they're rather welcome something being done. I think they, if left to their own devices, they'd find it a little hard to come to it themselves. But since I'm ready to go ahead and do it, I think they're ready to go along with it.
Are they getting ready to raise it again over there?
No, sir. Mr. President, they're not going to raise it again. The signal. I think it'd be a political possibility for them to raise it again, and they know it.
Mr. President, the interesting thing, I haven't dropped this very far, but I did once or twice down over the weekend, people saying, oh, we can't use monetary authority anymore on this situation. We need fiscal authority needs to come into the picture, monetary authorities being relied on too heavily. I just think somewhere along the line, if they keep pushing that too far, one of us is going to have to say, well, this is exactly what we were trying to work out last December. If they had waited 3 or 4 weeks, we could have arrived at a solution, at a mix which would have used both fiscal and monetary authority in the appropriate and agreed positions. But by not waiting, here we are. This is a little bit of political pressure we're getting from the New York people on this.
This
assertion that monetary authority has done now all that it can.
Yeah.
And therefore, if anything further is going to be done, it has to be done through the fiscal route. Matter of fact, there was an editorial in the Washington Post this morning finally calling them on this, saying that, well, they hadn't really done.
How'd you get by with your balance payments conference?
Went along very smoothly. As far as I could tell, it was only about, we gave them the full reading, and I think the questioning went on about 20 or 25 minutes. I'll send you full text of it over in the morning, but everybody, all of my people and Connor and Robertson felt that it went along pretty smoothly.
What's your export-import sales done?
March was a good month, Mr. President. We haven't got any April returns.
No, I mean your export-import bank paper.
We got the closings on that sometime tomorrow.
Haven't you talked to them and rounded them up last day or two?
I got the first word from it yesterday, and they were sliding along. I wasn't encouraged in the report I got. report I got was that the banks had really gone to town. They had done a thorough canvas. The Chase Bank had been in touch with all of their correspondent banks and was riding it very hard. But the question would finally boil down to how much the banks would take themselves. In other words, acting as intermediaries, I don't think they've been too successful. I think the success or failure of it will depend upon how much they lay out of their own.
Somebody told me they were taking 75.
Sir?
Somebody told me Chase was taking 75.
Yes, they are. They're taking a good chunk.
Well, now what are we offering, 500?
500. I think I would, my guess would be, and it's just a sheer guess, that we'll get $450, something in that. It'd be good if we did.
Have we counted the whole 500 in our budget this year?
Yes, sir. This money market is really loaded with all these things we're pouring into it. Our people over here wonder whether it can swallow it all, but
if it don't swallow this, it won't swallow much, 5.5, isn't it?
No, but it isn't just this. It's a fact.
I understand you got a lot of others, but this is pretty good paper, isn't it?
Oh,
5.5.
This is excellent.
And
paper.
Good terms
this
and options and everything else.
This ought to go. It's been tailored, it's been trimmed, it's been.
Have you talked to Peterson out on the West Coast, what they doing?
No, sir, I haven't. I've been just sweating away at this balance payment. I've left that up to the lender.
I talked to Peterson, Mr. President, and urged him to get in and go on. Now, one thing about the statement that Joe has made, if we can stop this run on these S&Ls, the Home Loan Bank Board is in the market today for just under $1 billion. We're planning on coming back for $1.5 billion. If we can stop this run on the S&Ls, that'll keep the Home Loan Bank Boards out of the market. We can market these participations. That's one reason I want to move as quickly as we can to stop this hemorrhage in these savings loans.
Well, now, is the Home Loan Bank stuff going all right?
Not very well. I held 5.55, and it's getting by, but it's nothing, no huge success. That's not your budget, Mr. President. What I want to do is...
Yeah, I understand that, but it's competition with stuff that is in the budget.
That's correct, and that's the reason I want to stop this hemorrhage of the savings and loan institutions.
Yeah, that's right.
Get the home
understand
bank
that.
Boards out of the market.
I understand that. Now,
yeah.
are you going to go on pretty soon with your small business, too, aren't you, 4-500?
That's going to be ready. It'll be offered on the 24th.
Mr. President, Charlie Schultz and I'll need about 15 minutes with you sometime tomorrow afternoon or Friday to go over this debt limit situation and what we're up against there. I think that my own judgment is that during the course of these hearings, it's just almost bound, this revenue picture is almost bound to surface. We have customarily, last year we gave a re-estimate of our revenues as of May, both in the debt limit hearings and in the excise tax hearings. This has been done customarily in past years. What I wanted to affirmatively suggest to you tomorrow is that, and I'll have a prepared statement on it for you, that if there's any advantage in you're releasing these figures, I think this is something you ought to consider doing over the weekend. Because I think they're going to leak out or come out in one way.
Hell, I can't get them, Joe. Y'all don't ever know them. I just have to read the papers. I don't get any figures.
Well, no, you
can, can't get them.
I don't think you should come out with the 3.4. I think you should say it looks as though it's going to be 102, 102 and a half in that area. Then. That's what I'm going to say in the course of the hearing. But I happen to know, and Surrey knows, and we've got it blocked off for the time being, that the Joint Committee staff, that is the staff of the Joint Committee on Internal Revenue, they've made their own estimates. And Stanley asked Larry Woodworth, for God's sake, to please hold them down, but those estimates are sooner or later going to leak out. As I told you the other day, and I have a memorandum on this now, any bright fellow that takes these daily Treasury statements can sooner or later come out with a pretty good guess. So what I think you ought to consider is taking advantage of any new situation over the weekend to say that our revenues are up in an encouraging way, but for sure.